Today I'm going to preach from the topic testimony service. Come on, somebody. Testimony service. And you may be like, well, what's so interesting about that? We're going to get into that in a second. But I want to first read this passage of scripture in John 4. And then we're going to read Revelation 12. And in John 4, 39 through 40, it says this. And many Samaritans of that city believed in him. Believed in who? Many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified. Come on, somebody. Many Samaritans, many lost people, many people with, you know, facing life's challenges. They believed in Jesus because of the woman who testified. And she says, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days because of this woman's testimony. He stayed there for 2 days because this woman who bragged on all that Jesus had done in her life. He stayed there for 2 days because this woman recalled the resume of restoration in her life through Jesus. And Revelation 12 takes this to a whole another level. Verse 10 and 11, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser, that word accuser is the word for Satan, the enemy, the one who opposes us, the accuser who accused them before God day and night. I love this. He lost. He's been cast down. He took an L. How? He took an L because of the blood of the Lamb. That's the work that Jesus did. And the word of our testimony. That's us talking about the work that Jesus did in our lives. And it goes on to say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. People's Church, those who are watching online every campus today, I want to preach from this topic, testimony service. And I'm going to pray today that God would cause you to see the work that he has done in your life. The kind of work that you says, man, I may not be where I want to be, but when I look back over my life, I'm not where I used to be. Come on, somebody. Father, I pray that you do something amazing today in this building and in the lives of all those who are watching at every campus and online, God. I pray today that we would put our testimony in service in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Testimony service. You see, I grew up in an old school church, y'all. I'm 50 years old. I turned 50 in June. And I remember growing up in church. And, you know, I'm talking about church before they had kids church. Like kids church was a whooping on the front row if you talk loud in church. Come on, some of y'all dropped y'all kids off in church. No, there wasn't no kids church. I'm talking about when church was 10 hours. Come on, somebody. When the pastor would get up and lie, talk about I'm about to close and then preach for 40 more minutes. Any of y'all been to the old school church? Come on. Some of y'all new school church, y'all don't know nothing about that church an hour. You know, you out, you in, you out. You ain't even sweated. You know what I'm saying? Your makeup is still on. Come on, somebody. Your hair is still good. Your tracks ain't fall off at the altar. I grew up in old school church where we had testimony service. And testimony service was, you can't do that today because people say all kind of crazy things. But testimony service, they would take a microphone and come off the stage and pass the microphone around to everybody in church, even the crazy people. Come on, somebody. And I remember the mic would land on a church mama. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And she'd start rocking. Come on, somebody. And she would start out with saying, first giving honor to Jesus Christ. And her voice would change. Y'all, she went from the Message version to King James, who is the Lord and Savior of my life. And she would start to testify. And she would say, God has been good. And then she would say, can I get a witness? And the church would get a witness. And she would say, when I look back over my life, I can't help but think about the glory of God. And she would talk like she wouldn't talk at work. And she would say, God's grace is enough. And then she would start fussing at all the young people. Give your life to Jesus because you don't want to go to hell. But then she would get back in her testimony and she would say, Lord, I had more month than I had money, but God came through. And you may not used to this kind of testimony service, but I hated church because I was hungry, because church would go too long, because testimony service, people would talk all day about nothing. Come on. That was a testimony service that I was used to as a little kid, and some of y'all online was like, I didn't know he could do that, y'all. I got roots now. Come on, somebody. And they would run around the church, and I remember as I was growing up, and we would talk about in church lost people, and we would talk about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and we would talk about the Great Commission to go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I used to think about, like, well, if we're gonna go outside the four walls of the church, don't we have to testify to more than just people who already know His grace? To already know His forgiveness? And I used to think as a kid, and that's why it woke up the evangelist in me. The evangelist in me to tell people who have not been found about how I got found. And I saw that reaching lost people wasn't hard if we start talking about and bragging on Jesus about who we used to be and now who we are today. That's why I love songs like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Let me make that modern. Is there anybody in the room or watching online that you know that you would not be where you are today if it had not been for God's grace and mercy in your life? And if you can't put your hands together because life is still coming at you, you may not be where you want to be, but can you thank God that you're not where you used to be? Is there anybody that can look back over their life and look at God's resume and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for keeping me in my right mind. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you, Father. Testimony service. When I think about testimony service, I know we know how to talk about it here. I know we can give God thanks here. But have we spent so much time testifying in service that we haven't put our testimony in service at work? Come on, somebody. I set y'all up real good right there, right? I'm talking about the church people know about the blood of Jesus, but lost people at your cubicle, in your neighborhood, don't know what God's doing in your marriage. Don't know what God's been doing in your mind because of shame, because you got this thought that if they find out. But what if this Easter, people's church, that you this week make your purpose that I am going to share my story. I'm going to share about the goodness of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put my testimony in service this week. It's time to put our testimony in service. When I look at this passage of scripture, we know this passage of scripture if we've been in church, about Jesus ministering to a Samaritan woman at the well. And if you have not been in church, it's a very simple story. There is a woman, and she is a Samaritan woman. And she is an outcast, some theologians say, from her own people. And how we know that is because she is at a well at noontime. It's the heat of the day. That is not when they would go to draw water. And this woman, because she's discouraged, this woman, because she could have been dealing with anxiety, but what the scripture does say is she's got a past. Is there anybody here that's got a past that's grateful that God can turn our past into a greater purpose, and I don't have to run from our past? I can talk about my past. This woman, she's ostracized. She's lonely. She's isolated. And the scripture says that she met Jesus in one of her most vulnerable moments. He's at a well, And what you need to know about this passage of scripture, it's not just about Jesus meeting her. It's not just about the power of the Holy Spirit, although it is. It is about Jesus really sharing with us through this verse his passion for personal evangelism. His passion for taking the gospel message outside of the church and talking to everyday people who are struggling with the things that you used to struggle with. Are any of y'all, come on somebody, any of y'all got some crazy coworkers? Any of y'all got some people that like, they need Jesus? Come on, y'all. Has anybody got some of them people in your family? Come on, like, yeah, he needs Jesus. Well, how does he get to Jesus if we never share what Jesus has done in our lives? Could it be that you will be the only Jesus that somebody ever sees? Somebody who doesn't make it? Come on, young people. There's some young people in here, and you're like, man, I go to church on Sunday, but your friends don't know it. Your group, the people you hang with don't know it. Why? But Jesus is showing us that Samaritans and Jews what happens with Samaritans and Jews is they did not coexist. There's a lot of cultural tension going on in this passage of scripture. Jews and Samaritans aren't supposed to talk to one another. Men are not supposed to talk to women in public. Husbands didn't even talk to wives in public. My wife would have slapped me. Come on, somebody. Don't you act brand new. You know who I am. But Jesus, he doesn't have a those people mentality. Jesus doesn't have a church people versus worldly people mentality. It's crazy to me that we can separate people from the gospel of Jesus Christ just because we don't agree with their lifestyle or agree with where they're going or because they sin differently than us. Guess what? Jesus wants those people to be our people. And Jesus shows us how to reach lost people. I hope that this message and my prayer this week is this message. I want you to start thinking about people right now who don't go to this church yet, who have not met Jesus. Put it in your notes, put it in your file, text yourself. Who are you going to share your testimony with this week? And I said, God, how can we put our testimony in service? And he showed me this. He says, number one, we must go the way that Jesus went. We must go the way that Jesus went. I want you to know that Samaritans would try to get from Judea to Galilee. And Galilee was like the central place of God's house. And the shortest way to get to Galilee was going through Samaria. But no Jew would go through Samaria. In fact, they would go about 70 miles out of their way around Samaria to avoid Samaritans. They had an opinion about Samaritans. Their mindset about Samaritans is they need to change. Their mindset about Samaritans is they don't worship Jesus the way that we worship Jesus. And I've come to discover that as Christians, we can have a mindset about those people. We can have a mindset about they're struggling with their identity. They're struggling with their lifestyle. They're running around on their spouses, and they become those people to them. But what I love, what Jesus says in John 4, 3 and 4, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And I love verse 4. He had to go through Samaria. Oh, he had to go through Samaria. He was created to go through Samaria. He had a mission to go through Samaria. He was like, why do y'all have an opinion about those people, but you can't change them because you don't have proximity with them? Uh-oh. And he's saying, man, if you want to change the culture of Samaria, you're going to have a conversation with a Samaritan. Y'all got some family members that need to change, but how close are we to them? Do we have a judgment, but not a journey to their lifestyle, to their house, to their table for dinner, to share the goodness of Jesus, but Jesus says that we have to go through Samaria. We can't keep avoiding lost people. We can't keep going around lost people. We can't keep calling them those people. And let me tell you something, guys. Can I say it like I'd say it to my old church in Baltimore? Don't forget where you came from. Come on, somebody. Look at the person next to you and say, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you once were lost, but now you're found. There's some lost people that are waiting on you to go back to where you used to be to share. Look what the Lord has done in me. And if he can do it in me, he can do it in you too. I'm 50 now, and I got adult children. That means they're out of my house, and it is amazing, y'all. Just, they're never coming back, like ever. Like ever. Come on, somebody. Just you're not coming back being a grown man playing video games. Come on, somebody, while I'm going to work. It's just not happening. It's just not happening. Like y'all, it is amazing. I even told my kids, like when you leave and you can't afford life, I would rather pay for you to live somewhere else than to pay the price for you to get in between me and mom again. Come on, somebody. Get out my house, Satan's. I mean, people, kids. But when they were younger, they used to love, we had a place called Busch Gardens, and it was an amusement park, and they had this ride called the Water Wave, and it was like waves would come, and they could surf on the waves. And I remember promising them a Saturday, hey, we're gonna go to Wild Wave. Then they were young kids, and they were like, oh, they would get so excited. I'm talking about the kind of excited where they would start packing. Come on, somebody, days before they start planning their lunch, they start planning all the rides that they were gonna. Y'all, they were excited to go to Busch Gardens. When we Dad, Mom, what time are we leaving? We're leaving 8 o'clock in the morning to go to Busch Gardens, and we had a big SUV that had them three rows, y'all know what I'm talking about? And they would pack, we go into Busch Gardens, and we would pull up to Busch Gardens, but this time, Saturday, we leave 8 o'clock, we get in the car, and they're young, so they start saying, are we there yet? Like, they know it's going to take 20 minutes for us to get to Busch Gardens, but it's taking longer, and they're getting agitated, and they're dreaming about the place and the destination that I've promised them. They can't wait to get to this destination, and they were like, why is it taking longer? And my oldest daughter, it was like, why are we going out of the way to Busch Gardens? And what they didn't know is Daddy has promised your cousins that he's gonna go and pick them up to go to Busch Gardens also. Now my kids start calculating, like, Daddy ain't got a whole lot of money, and if we invite more people to Busch Gardens, that's less cotton candy for me. Come on, somebody. That's less games for me. And my kids are so selfish because they don't want me to go out of my way to promise somebody else the same destination that they didn't know anything about. I came to tell you, come on, People's Church, that your Daddy in heaven has promised some family members, some neighbors, some co-workers, the destination of heaven, the same destination that you can't wait to get to. And you'd be like, man, one day I'm going to heaven. But I had a big old SUV with three rows, and we had three empty seats. And I came to tell you that your Father in heaven does not want you to get to your destination alone. Told my kids, we got to go out of the way. And this week, I want to encourage you to go out of your way. We must go the way that Jesus went. He said, I have to go through Samaria. What area have we neglected? What people group have we neglected? What person have we neglected? Because it's uncomfortable. I've come to discover in my life, guys, that Great Commission zones have no comfort zones. We must go out of our way. How do we also put our testimony in service? We must be the witness. No. We must have the well that Jesus had. We got to have the well that Jesus has. You see, this conversation with the Samaritan woman, it's taking place at a well. In John 4, 5, and 7, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field of Jacob. Gave to his son Joseph. Joseph's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Look at verse 7. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Y'all, this well has history. There were two wells there. There was the natural well and the supernatural well. The natural well is what brought the woman to the well. The supernatural well is what the woman left with. Are you with me? You are the natural well at work. You are the natural well in your family. You are the natural well in the mall. You are, watch this, some of y'all gonna be mad at me, in traffic. Oh, Jesus, why did he just say that? You are the well that the way that you conversate with people is the way that they will get receive what Jesus has supernaturally. You do it naturally, Jesus does it supernaturally. You talk to them naturally, Jesus has relationship with them supernaturally. Help equals hope, guys. At work, in your families, in your neighbors. But what they start talking about is a well. And what I see here is Jesus had a very large well. Because this woman, she's got questions. What I love about this, they get to the well. Now, she's thirsty, right? Like, naturally, she goes to the well to get something to drink. But Jesus flips the script on her and asks her for a drink. Can I have a drink? Well, what he's saying is you're not empty. You still have something to give. I know you're in pain, but you still have a purpose. I know your life is filled with misery, but you still have a ministry. Hey, do you remember when you were empty and you started to see your God-given purpose that you have value? Come on, you started to read scriptures like Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans. God, you have plans for me to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. God, me? Yeah, because maybe you're here and you're not thinking about the well. You feel like the woman. You feel like life has given up on you. You feel like life is too hard. You feel like God has been absent in your life. Well, I came to preach to you and prophesy to you that Jesus is asking and has need of you. He has need of your story. He has need of your history. There's somebody walking in the same path that's behind you that when they see you healed, see you delivered, see you free, it's gonna give them hope that they can be free too. Come on, somebody, we must have the kind of well that Jesus had. You know, and then this woman says back to Jesus, this is what's crazy to me, is she says in John 4:11, sir, but you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is deep. Lost people are saying this pain is deep. This history is deep. These hurts are a lot. Man, I've been through some stuff. Has anybody been through some stuff? Come on, somebody. I'm talking about some stuff you might not even be able to talk about. You can't believe that you're still in your right mind. You can't believe that you're here today. Some of y'all was professional sinners. Come on, somebody. And you can't believe you in church. A matter of fact, if somebody from your past saw you, they'd be like, you saved? She tells Jesus, you don't have a rope long enough. And I feel like the Holy Spirit's been asking us, are we committed to hanging around long enough with people who aren't there yet? That pain is deep, and it's going to require more than an invitation to church. It might require an invitation to your life. And she says, you don't have a bucket. And when I look at the bucket, what I see is a heart of compassion. Man, I've been praying prayers like, God, can you help break my heart for the things that breaks your heart? God, can I start noticing the things that Jesus notices? God, help me not to judge people because they sin differently than me. God, I know you want to use me. The Bible says that Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. You know what I've been praying? God, I gotta have the kind of well that Jesus had. The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, that when Jesus saw the crowds, when he saw sick people, when he saw hurting people, when he saw divorced people, when he saw people struggling with their identity, when he saw racist people, when he saw angry people, watch this now, he had compassion on them, watch this, because they were confused and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. We need workers that have bigger wells. I want to tell you what compassion is, because I'm going to pray this week that your compassion help you to step into God's great commission. Your compassion is simply this: I'm going to put the hurts of others in my heart until they're healed. I'm going to put them in my heart. You're broken, you're going to be in my heart. You're struggling, you're going to be in my heart. You're lost. How many of y'all can think of somebody right now that God has put on your mind right now? Yeah, I got to do a better job reaching them. Is there anybody, be honest? Come on. Like four of you, amazing. Yep. I see some of you shaking your head. I don't want you to be convicted or condemned. I want you to have a Holy Spirit conviction that I've got to share my testimony. I got to let them know. That's what happened at this well. You know what I've come to discover, guys? That Jesus uses the well within us to heal the wounds around us. Jesus uses the well within us to heal the wounds around us. The last thing to put your testimony in service is we must be the witness that Jesus was. In John 4, 28 and 30, it says, the woman left her water jar after this encounter with Jesus, after this encounter with you, come on somebody, and ran back to the village telling everyone, come see Jesus. Come see the man who forgave me. Come see the man who didn't judge me. Come see the man who gave me purpose. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he be Jesus? And the Bible says the people came streaming from the village to see him. I'm believing, People's Church, that next Sunday, this is good. It's going to be the greatest outpouring of salvation that this church has ever experienced, because you're going to go back this week and say, come see what the Lord has done. Look what he's done in my life. You don't have to stay where you are. If God can do it in me, he can do it in you too. Revelations. We read that scripture in 12. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the work that Jesus did. And the word of their testimony. That's when you start talking about what Jesus did. I want to tell you real quick why the church suffers with this. Why don't we tell people about what God's done? Because of shame. Man, what if they find out what I used to do, be in, struggle with? And it's crazy that everyone's thinking the same thing, but if one person starts talking about it, it actually gives the next person freedom to also start talking about it, and freedom becomes contagious, and everybody be like, oh, you struggle too? Yeah, me too. And what happens is you start to see the power of testimony. You see, the word testimony in the Greek means do it again. Somebody say, do it again. Everything that God has done in your life, when you share it, it brings the anointing for him to do it again in somebody else's life. That's what it means to be a witness. So this week, I want you to put your testimony in service. Come on, somebody. You're not going to go and say, when I look back over my life, I want to proclaim what the Lord has done. You're not going to do that. Here's what you're going to do. Hey, you want to grab lunch? You want to grab dinner? Come on, teenager. You want to go to the game together? I want to tell you what the goodness of God has been for me. And guys, when this woman said, come see, Samaria was changed because Jesus went out of his way because he had a big well. And he didn't allow, or she didn't allow what God had done in her life to keep it to herself. I think some of y'all gonna just put on your Instagram, there's probably a Facebook crowd here. I see a Facebook crowd. Come on, young people, y'all know, like, y'all ain't on Facebook. Like, you're gonna put on your Snapchat, you're gonna put on your TikTok, you're gonna put on your Instagram. I dare some of y'all do it right now. Take out your phone, do it right now. God saved me. He loves me, and he can love you too. Come to Easter at People's Church with me next week. I want some of y'all to just start thinking about some people. And I want to pray. Can y'all stand with me and just put your hands in a posture like this? I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray, God, that you would wake up our testimony. Father, would you do it again? God, the supernatural work that your son, through his resurrection, next Easter, as we celebrate what your son did, God, would you do it again in our lives? Would you do it again in our city? Would you do it again in our family? Would you do it again in our church? God, give me the anointing to share your goodness with everybody who is in proximity with me. In Jesus' name, and y'all said a good amen. God bless you, People's Church.
Amen. Come on, we put our hands together. Thank God for Pastor Jimmy. And that word today, church family, would just find your seat for just a moment. We're going to dismiss here shortly, but I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed all around this place. I love Pastor Jimmy's story about the woman at the well. And I love the point he made that she still had value. And maybe you're here today and you find yourself at a place where you're far from God. And you're wondering, do you have value? You're wondering, man, can God do something with my life? Maybe you were close to God a while ago, but you've drifted away. Or maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Here's what I want you to know. God values you. He values you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross, so that you could be made right with God. And the only thing he asks you to do is to accept that free gift, say yes to that. And by doing that, our sins are washed away. We're made right with the God of heaven. And we can know that we are now children of God. And we can live for God and not the devil. So if you're here today, you're far from God, or maybe you've drifted away today. Maybe you need to recommit your life to God today. I want you to know God loves you. And if you're ready to say yes to Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life, to live for God and not the devil, if that's you here today, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand when I count to three, and I want to lead you in a quick prayer to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, would you lift your hand? 1, 2, 3. You say, that's me. You're all over this room. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. So many hands lifted. Anyone else? You're here today. You say, that's me. I need Jesus today. I need to make him the Lord of my life. I need my sins forgiven. Those of you who have your hands raised, I'm going to ask you just to repeat this prayer after me to make Jesus the Lord of your life today. Would you just say this with me? Say, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today, and I thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. I thank you, Lord, that I'm no longer separated from God. But because I place my faith in Jesus, I have now become a child of God. Forgive me of my sins and fill me with your Spirit, God, that I might walk in your ways all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.